Merry Christmas. This is December 25th, 2004, and tomorrow is the beginning of a seminar here on campus, The Story of Jesus, as it has never been thought about before, never been told before, but the rest of the world, all they have to do is just open their heart and their mind, and they will hear it now. But for the moment, we have our thought for today. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, bringing you the thought for today, which says, we should say to each child, do you know what you are? You are a marvel. You are unique. You may become a Shakespeare, a Michelangelo, a Beethoven. You have the capacity for anything. Now we might add on this auspicious day, you might become a Jesus. And that is not true. No child will ever become a Beethoven, a Michelangelo, a Shakespeare, or a Jesus, because every child is themselves. And the magic and the beingness of every child will be something so fantastic if it is encouraged and allowed to be alone what it is, that we cannot put a word on it. We cannot put a name on it. Michelangelo was a great painter, a great sculptor. He was a great artist in many ways. He was an intelligent man, very knowledgeable in the field of the Bible and in the field of many other things for his day. But Michelangelo was the biggest fool that ever walked the face of the earth. He had within him the talent and genius to do anything he wanted to do, and he did it. But he didn't have the belief in himself that said, it is done unto me according to my belief. He didn't have that, at least not that awareness, which said that he was worthy of the love that he had in his heart for the Duchess. He didn't believe that he was. And so all of his life, he lived a life of unrequited love. He lived a life of not having the girl that was the most meaningful person in his whole world, if only in his mind. You see, what happened to Beethoven? Anybody know what happened to Beethoven in his life?
He became deaf.
What was Beethoven? He was a musician, wasn't he? Did he create beautiful music?
Yes.
Was he a most magnificent person creating music?
Mm-hmm.
Did he go out into the forest and listen to the wind in the trees and the ripple of the water? Did he go and look at the grass and do these things? From the very beginning, he stopped using his outer ears, and he only listened with his inner ears. He listened to the divine within, and so pretty soon, his outer ears atrophied. They no longer were beneficial to him. He was deaf. Here he is, one of the world's most prominent, most remarkable musicians, and he couldn't even hear what he was playing. Or could he? Could he, like Maxwell Maltz, wonderful athletes, he's a psychiatrist, and he wrote a book on it, and he took these two basketball teams of equal ability, and had one basketball team play on the court and do beautifully every day for so many hours. And then the other team, he had them do what?
Practice.
He had them practice in their mind. He had them visualize it in their mind. Now, when you visualize something in your mind, do you visualize your problems? Do you visualize the circumstances that are not going well? Do you visualize yourself doing stupid things? No. And yes. And yes. Now, we saw the movie Forrest Gump, and we've been referring to it. And what was his instructor saying to him when he just came up to him and he said, Forrest, he didn't say Forrest, he said, here, play ping pong. The only thing you have to remember is keep your eye on the ball. And so Forrest Gump kept his eye on the ball. And he was exquisite. But he was so stupid. He didn't realize you had to figure out how to hold the paddle so that it would go in the right direction. He didn't realize that you had to do a lot of manipulations with it, and that you had to listen to the crowd, and that, and you had to do this and that. What did he do? He kept his eye on the ball. He kept his attention on the ball. He kept every thought in his little mind on that ball. An absolute idiot. But a genius. You see, any one of you, if I say to you, we have a rule in this house, and I have since rescinded the rule, but we have a rule in this house that if you're going to clear the table of the dishes, you take the dishes and you stack them if you wish, and you take the knives and forks and you hold them in a hand separate from the dishes. But you do not hold the knives and forks on top of the dishes and carry them to the sink. So every time somebody takes it and carries it to the sink, what happens? They drop the knives and forks on the floor. Clash, bang, boom, you know. And sometimes the dishes go with them. And they don't follow directions. And so after a while of teaching this for about a year and having it be so followed, I said, you don't have to do that anymore. You can do it any way you want. Well, now, was it a good idea to carry the knives and forks separate from the plates?
Yes.
What a simple, stupid little illustration. That's right. Life is filled with simple, stupid little illustrations. Okay, now, when I said you didn't have to do that anymore, was that freedom to drop the knives and forks and dishes on the floor? Well, some people thought it was. And so they thought that they had the opportunity to be free of that. And hey, that's cool. That's cool. Now, what do we do? What do we do? I'm your sharer. I'm your mentor. I'm your revealer, if you will, here. Teacher, whatever you want to call it. And I give you suggestions. Not because it makes me happy, because I really don't care, but it can make you very happy if you follow them. Michelangelo was painting the Sistine Chapel, and he was very ticked off at the Pope. Ticked off at the Pope? My gosh, here's doing a job for him, and he's doing a monumental job that'll go down in history, and he's angry at the Pope. And he is. And the Pope knows that he's angry. But the Pope also knows that so long as Michelangelo can be angry at the Pope, he will not be angry at his art. And his art will be pure and beautiful. And all of the unhappiness and all of the anger and all the frustration that he has, if he can vent that on the Pope says, I've been through this, that's part of my job. You know, vent your anger and your unhappiness on me, but just do a beautiful job. And so Michelangelo went on to do a beautiful job. He really was angry at the Pope, but the Pope didn't let that bother him. The Pope knew who he was. Do you know who you are? Do we know who we are? Do we want to be a Michelangelo with our Achilles' heel of having anger and frustration and a lack of our true love being experienced in our life, holding us back from something? Do we want to be like Forrest Gump, riddled with problems from top to toe? That poor guy had them all, didn't he? But he didn't know it. He didn't know it. His love was being nice to himself and to people in his world, respecting himself and people in his world. Did he respect his mother? Oh my, yes. Did he respect his family heritage? Oh my, yes. When he sat on the park bench reiterating some of the experiences that he had, and the people, yeah, I'm sitting next to a millionaire, aren't I? Ha, ha, ha. And he was. But you see, this is the humility. We don't need to show. Here he was telling his stories, not showing off, but just telling them as they happened, just a charming episode after episode. And the lady, little old lady, said, "Oh, but that's nice. You're a charming boy. You're." And the man, of course, "You haven't got the brains to be a billionaire, a millionaire." But he didn't. He didn't have the brains to be a millionaire. You don't either. You have the brains to be independently wealthy. You have the brains, and you don't have the brains to do that. You have the ability to be untouched, one-pointed, unpossessed, and non-judgmental. Now we get back to the title of our talk for today. We should always say to each child, "Do you know what you are? You are a marvel. You are unique. You may become anything you want because you have the capacity to be anything you want." Have you taught that to your children? Ha, ha, ha. No, you haven't. Let's not worry about your children. They're out of the picture. None of you have little ones at home anymore. Maybe grandchildren, but what about you? What about you? What are the words of Jesus that come down to us through all of time? We must become as little children to enter the kingdom of heaven, which means we put aside the worldly things. We put aside judgment. We put aside being our brother's keeper. Do you think the little boys and girls are their brother's keeper? They don't care. If the kids are playing with them, good. If they go home, good, you know. Bye. I got to go home now. Time for my supper. Bye. I got to go home now. My mama's called. Bye. Doesn't your mama call you? When she calls, then I go home. Oh, easy as that, you know. But, you see, we're not our brother's keeper. But we have the capacity to do anything when we open up our heart and just realize what turns us on this moment. Go for it. What turns us on in another moment? Go for it. If you're only halfway through what you have just started and then something else turns you on, go for it. Who are you going to complete a job for? And what is a complete job? Do you know that Beethoven had within him a zillion, billion, trillion more pieces of music equally as wonderful as what he gave us? And he quit. He died. He said, "Bye-bye, world. I'm off to another adventure." You see, we have infinity within us, and we don't have a job to complete. We don't have a world to take care of. We have only, if I may use the term again, Forrest Gump, we have only the idea that the world that we are living in right now is the only world there is. And when we make promises to ourselves, we fulfill them. And it doesn't matter whether you fulfill them today or in an infinity of time. You made the promise, you're going to do it. But don't worry about when. Just live your life wonderfully, happily, harmoniously, and be yourself and have fun. Be as little children. Live your life as a little child and enter into that inner wisdom, that inner kingdom of heaven, which is so great. And like our pet shift dad who was out here, and she was given the job of working in the Paradise Garden, and Stefan looked out the window there and saw she wasn't doing it. And he said, "What's going on? You're sitting here in the shade." She says, "I don't work in the sun." And he said, "Well, you should have told me that. I would have given you something else to do. I don't care whether you work in the sun or don't work. Just whatever I ask you to do, do it unconditionally, lovingly, gently, without rebellion or without anger." You see? Just do it. You see? That's what life's all about. And that's what you're all about. And that's what the teachings of Jesus are all about. The teachings of Jesus are all about living in the now and living as the most beautiful human divine being on the face of the earth. And when you are that, because you're human, that's what you're here for. But you're divine, that's what you're here for. The most beautiful human divine being on the face of the earth. And be an idiot like Ellen. Go around to every little child you see and announce to them, "How's my little genius? You're a little genius." And the kid may just be a Forrest Gump. But what a genius, huh? Following the rules, untouched, one-pointed, unpossessed, non-judgmental, and unconditionally loving. Today I give you my blessing of unconditional love, and I see each one of you living your life so gloriously with unconditional love that you stop trying to live according to what other people want you to do and live according to what you do. You stop living the Paulinian teachings and start living the Jesus teachings. And more about that tomorrow. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.